Being this meeting of the NORTEC Executive Committee. We certainly want to welcome all the NORTEC members that are listening in to this teleconference session. Why don't we go around, everybody say your name and your NIDR grant for the record. Starts John Westbrook, Center on KT for Employment Research.
Joanne Starks, also with the KT Center for Employment Research.
Robin Jones, Great Lakes, I'm Great Lakes 80.
Hi, this is Sally Tanner. Rogers joining.
Hey, Sally. Just introducing ourselves.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. This is Hannah Rutstam from the Northeast ADA Center at Cornell in New York State.
Hi, this is Jana Burke, Project Director for the Rocky Mountain ADA Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
This is Janet Walker from the Research and Training Center on Pathways to Positive Futures in Portland, Oregon.
This is Charlene Harrington from University of California, San Francisco, Center for Personal Assistance Services.
Frank DeRuyter, Duke University, RERC, Communication Enhancement.
This is Marsha Ellison from the RPC on the rehabilitation of secondary conditions after spinal cord injury, National Rehab Hospital, Washington.
I'm sorry, can you say your name again? There was more than one person.
Sorry. Yeah, it's Manon Schladen.
Okay, thank you, Manon.
This is Marsha Ellison from the Transitions RTC at UMass Medical School.
This is Mary Killeen from Burke Blatt Institute for the RTC on the Center on Effective Rehabilitation Technology.
And Mary, how do you spell your last name?
It's K-I-L-L-E-E-N.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
I said my name. This is Sally Rogers, but I didn't say where I'm from. So I'm Sally Rogers, Director of Research, Center for Psychiatric Rehabilitation at Boston University.
Right.
This is Nancy Arnold at the Research and Training Center on Disability and Rural Communities at the University of Montana, Missoula.
Overlapping. Alex Libin at the ROTC on SCI at the National Rehabilitation Hospital in Washington, D.C.
To everybody? Great. Thank you all, and I'm really excited that we have the visitors that we have listening in today. Those of you that are new may or may not know that the Executive Committee meets at least once per month via teleconference to discuss issues affecting NIDR and its grantees and to try and do planning for our annual conference and its associated activities. So this open Executive Committee call is designed to give all of you that are listening in an idea about some of the things that go on in these teleconference sessions and perhaps pique your interest in terms of some of the things that are happening and your desire to participate in the future. This happens to be the second open call that we have conducted. The previous one was in December of 2010. And if you happen to miss it and you want to hear what we said way back in December 2010, it is archived on the NORTEC website, which is at narrtc.org. This teleconference will also be recorded and be made available at the same place. If you haven't visited the NORTEC website, I would very much encourage you to do so. We've done a lot of things to update it. We have newsletters and related information there that should be of interest to you. NORTEC supports services that are provided from Powers, Pyle, Sutter, and Verville in Washington, D.C. to try and help us keep abreast of what's going on in terms of new legislative issues, and to try and help us disseminate information that may be of use to others related to disability issues. So Bobby Silverstein has been our prime person that's been working with us, and we are, of course, delighted to have Bobby at this point in time when it seems that all of us are struggling to try and figure out some of the things that are going on in Washington. So it's somewhat comforting to have Bobby to try and help guide us through things. So we thought it would be very useful, and this is a regular part of our executive committee meetings, to hear from Bobby in terms of things that are going on, things that we should know about, things that we may want to do. So saying that, I'll turn it over to you, Bobby.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm going to, I have usually about 10, 15 minutes. I will not go over my allotted time. I'd like to give you updates on appropriations, the reauthorization of the Rehab Act, including Title II, some recent conversations I've had with Dr. Lake and Charlie, NIDA director, in terms of some of the things that he's focusing on, and briefly mention the National Academy of Science review of NIDA, as well as update on ICDR, Interagency Committee on Disability Rehabilitation Research, and some of what's going on there. Let me start with appropriations. At this point in time, folks, hello? Is somebody coming on?
Yes, sorry, Bobby, it's Mary Ann.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
In terms of appropriations level, NIDA has been level funded again. $109 million is the appropriation level. It will be a minor reduction from that $109 million level, because there is an across-the-board rescission or cut of 0.189% of all programs in order to come within the amount allotted by Congress. So it's a little less than the $109 million. The conference report accompanying the bill says that the language in the Senate report, because some of you may recall that the Senate actually committee actually had a bill, the House side only had a bill introduced by the chair. So the conference committee said that we will accept all of the language that's in the Senate report unless there's something inconsistent in the conference report. And there was really basically nothing about NIDA in the conference report, but the Senate report re-emphasized the committee's strong support for the mission of NIDA, which includes research in the interrelated domains of health and function, employment, and participation in community living, and then made some reference also to the TBI model systems programs. If anybody wants the specific Senate report language, John has a memo that I prepared that summarizes all of this information. Now, let's put this number in context. I'm not trying to try to explain on behalf of Congress why there wasn't an increase. I'm just kind of reporting and giving everybody a reality check that we had a Budget Control Act of 2011 that was signed in August. You all remember that. You all remember the super committee and its failure, et cetera. But in that legislation, there was a two-step process for controlling spending. The first step was for the current fiscal year, 2012, to cut $7 billion. That was in addition to cuts from the previous year. And then for next year, another $3 billion. And in addition, you've got the pressure in terms of sequestration, which will now kick in if appropriate monies are not, or if the budgets are not significantly reduced based on prescribed amounts. And some people say for 2013 that if they have to do across-the-board cuts, it could be in the 10% range. So the fact that in 2012 there was level funding does not sound like a victory, but in some sense, given significant cuts for other programs that did occur, NIDER did okay. Any questions on appropriations? My feeling is that the pressure is going to be intense, and that doesn't mean, okay, we can't get increases, we should just forget about it and not contact our members of Congress and not aggressively do things. To the contrary, to me it's even more important than in the past to express the importance of NIDER and the role it plays as the flagship disability and rehabilitation research agency in the federal government, and the importance of to people with disabilities of funding these programs. And if at the end we can get level funding, that's a kind of victory.
Oh.
But I think next year will probably, I've been in this town now for almost 40 years, and this, I think next year may be the most difficult of my tenure here. Any questions? Sorry for the optimistic, enthusiastic state of appropriations, but that's the world we live in.
Just one question from me, Bobby, and it's about, you know, the way in which they would effect the sequestration if that was to occur. Is it the case that these cuts are pretty generally defined, and so the majority of the decisions are going to come back to the leaders of different agencies in terms of where and how they're going to make?
No, I don't. Cuts? I don't think that. I don't think. There are two scenarios. One is the way which you described. The other is that every program will see the same cut. And the way they did it in the Labor HHS bill was, again, what they had was this across-the-board cut of 0.189 for every single line item. I wouldn't be surprised if it was across the board for every program. But it is certainly possible to give some degree of discretion. I only described two possible scenarios. There's probably a third. And the third is, this is kind of Washington speak, but the appropriation bills, unlike authorizing bills, have very little language in them. So for IDEA, for example, there'll be one number even though there might be, there is Part B, the for state programs, 619 preschool, Part C, early intervention, and then the parent training and information center, and the research, and the training, et cetera, et cetera. There may be 15 line items, but in the legislation, there's only one. For rehab, we've got all of the titles of rehab, including Title II, which is research, but you also have Title I VR, Title VII, independent living, Title VI, supported employment, state grant, et cetera, and Title III, all the demos, et cetera, and training. There's only one item. So, John, it could be that there's they have discretion within each item. So they may say, let's pick a number, there's an 8% sequestration. They may say 8% from the rehab account, which includes all titles of the Rehab Act. So that's another option.
Okay.
Any other questions about appropriations? In terms of the reauthorization of the Rehab Act, the Senate, as you may recall, has a bill, a bipartisan bill that has under consideration, came close to actually marking it up, but there were some outstanding controversies, so they never actually got to markup. But there is in that bill amendments to the Rehab Act, as well as the Workforce Investment Act. And within the rehab component, there are a number of changes to Title II, the research section. And many of those provisions were recommended by NARTEC and the Disability and Rehabilitation Research Coalition, DRRC. The House, there is separate bills introduced by three Republicans, including the chair of the subcommittee, and none of those bills have any changes to the Title II research section. There is not a Democratic bill at this point in time, and nobody is quite sure whether or not anything will happen on the Rehab Act. My guess is ranges from no action whatsoever to action by either the House or the Senate, but no conference and no bill sent to the President. The third is that they do conference it and send it to the President, but I give that about 1 to 2%, let's make it 5% chance, a 60% chance that nothing happens, and I guess that leaves 35% chance that either House or Senate will actually consider it, and maybe one House pass it, but I just see almost no chance of it actually being enacted into law. And again, if people would like to know more about the specifics of what was suggested and what's actually in the Senate bill, we have memos on that, which we could certainly recirculate. We have a memo on the appropriations, which we could recirculate. We have a memo on the Budget Control Act, which we could recirculate as well. So for those who have more interest on any of those, we have more detailed analyses to share. In terms of Dr. Lakin, Charlie, I mean, if I called him Dr. Lakin, he would probably puke. Charlie, in terms of the director of NIDR, rechatted a couple of days ago. He is fully expecting finalization of the long-expected long-range plan shortly to be complete its internal review, and then he has expressed strong interest that there be an opportunity for transparency and feedback by the community. He's expecting that the long-range plan will not look like any previous long-range plan, be very short, and a high-level vision for the future. When we met with him a month or so ago, one of the things he talked about is the need to balance and do a real review across the domains of health and function, employment, and community participation, and really do a review to focus more heavily on knowledge translation, emphasize strongly relevancy of the research that is supported by NIDER. His language, we're not studying people with disabilities, but we're changing people's lives. His goal was to enhance the peer review pool, and he said since he's been there, he's gotten 100 additional folks signed up. Another thing that he's interested in pursuing is the Rehab Research Advisory Council. The Title II of the Rehab Act calls for a permanent advisory council, quote, subject to the availability of appropriations. And this advisory council has never been appointed and does not, and therefore does not function. He is looking into the possibility of trying to create the advisory council, but that will need funds, and given the limited resources, that certainly is an open question. They plan shortly, and in Washington speak, shortly means anything between next month and the end of the year, is they hope to update and modernize the NIDER website, which hasn't been changed in years. When we talked about any questions about NIDER and long-range plan, advisory council, anything else, folks are probably aware of the National Academy of Science review of NIDER. In general, it was very positive in the various four or five things they looked at, and in each case also made a series of recommendations, and those recommendations by and large supported by Charlie and others at NIDER. If people would like a summary of the National Academy of Sciences review of NIDER, there's also an extensive memo summarizing the key findings and recommendations that we could recirculate as well. In terms of the ICDR, the Interagency Committee on Disability Research, the conversations we had with Charlie were interesting. I think his description of ICDR was basically the, quote, downside of dysfunctional. And so the question is strategically, if that's an assessment and others share that assessment, I'm not sure I'd go that far, but I'd go, it certainly would be a positive, it would be a C minus, is two ways of looking at it. To try to really narrow what they do to one or two very discrete issues, or to try to figure out the reasons why it's dysfunctional and make systemic changes to make it functional and carry out the original congressional intent, which was really to make sure that we had a comprehensive strategic effort across agencies to enhance, expand, and improve disability and rehabilitation research. Charlie was asking, you know, comments about possibly taking the first approach, which was much more limited, take a couple of discrete issues and pursue them. And those of us who met with him from the Disability Rehabilitation Research Coalition urged him to try to figure out ways of addressing the underlying systemic issues, address them, and pursue the critical notion of establishing and implementing a comprehensive strategic plan that is across federal agencies. And so that conversation is to be continued. There is a significant amount of money that is allocated by NIDER to have ICDR function. And given the pressures on money, there certainly will be pressures to see if that ICDR money should go out to the field instead. And if so, what then is the future of ICDR? And is there a way of having another entity, such as the National Council on Disability, take up some of its administrative responsibilities? I've probably gone over my time, so I'm going to stop. Any questions?
Golden opportunity. Any questions for Bobby? Well, I guess you answered all the questions.
One last thing, John. As you were on our last DRRC phone call, DRRC, the Disability Rehabilitation Research Coalition, which is made up of more than 30 national organizations, 4 years ago did a white paper for the Obama campaign and the McCain campaign. And we plan on doing the same thing for this election cycle. That document was a bestseller. We used it for incredible number of different purposes. We just sent it out to John as the NARTEC rep a day or so ago. I guess, wouldn't it go out yesterday? John, did you receive it? What we sent out is last year's white paper we did 4 years ago, and we're asking people to review and comment, make additions, deletions, modifications, so that we can, in the next couple of months, well, it won't be the next couple of months, when both the Democrats and Republicans have nominees, we will circulate it to their campaign staff. So we're asking for input in the next week or so. And I don't know, John, how you plan on doing it within NARTEC in terms of getting input, but we would love to have your analysis and recommendations within a week from Monday.
Certainly you'll get mine, and I will circulate it to membership so that for any of you that can make a timely response, we'll be happy to add that too for Bobby's consideration.
I have a question, if I'm allowed to ask.
Yes, please.
This is Erica Jones in California.
Hey, Erica.
Hey, the question's for Bobby. It's probably going to be politically incorrect, so I ask forgiveness ahead of time.
Among friends, go ahead.
ICDR was dysfunctional before Connie Pledger took it over.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues to be totally dysfunctional. Is your opinion that it's the leadership that makes it that way, or is it intrinsic in the way it's set up, that it will be dysfunctional.
Okay, I think that's a great question, and there's nothing politically incorrect about it at all. Here's what Charlie said, and I totally agree. Charlie calls up the assistant secretary or the secretary of HHS or the director administrator at CMS or somebody at NIH, National Center on Medical Rehabilitation, and says, "Hi, I'm Charlie Lake, and here at the Department of Education, NIDER. We want the secretary or the assistant secretaries to come to a meeting where we're going to do A, B, and C." The answer will be, "Thank you for sharing." You can't get within Department of Education if NIDER wanted to do anything, the kind of recognition and respect it deserves. So why would we expect it to be anyplace else? So there may be some structural issues that need to be changed. We went to Senator Harkin's staff and met with Andy Imperato. And what we said is, hey, ICDR ain't going to do anything unless something happens, like Senator Harkin sends a letter to the three secretaries, to NIH, to the Secretary of HHS, to the CDC director, and to the Secretary of Education, and said, in 3 months, we want to report on what you all are doing to enhance disability and rehabilitation research, and suggestions for a comprehensive strategic plan. Or this came from the Domestic Policy Council, from the White House, and there was an executive order or a directive from the White House saying, I want to know what's going on between and among the agencies, and I want a report, and I want ICDR to chair it. You see the difference in the two? ICDR would then be doing the work of the president as opposed to just being the chair of ICDR. And if at the end of the day there is an actual report that goes to the president or goes to the chairman of the appropriations and the authorizing committee, maybe we can get something done. So I think by and large, the answer to your question is it's a structural issue, but it's also, and that's the primary issue, but it also is a leadership issue where this needs to be a priority and there needs to be funds and sufficient staff to make it happen. But I think there are structural issues that are pretty significant.
And so the second half of the question is, if it was taken out of NIDER,
mm-hmm.
because I was a federal employee for 4 years,
right.
It may have more import, like if it was an NCD, where they demand a report,
mm-hmm.
and they demand that other agencies participate because they are doing more oversight.
Right. Or it may go to, yes, I agree. In other words, that's what I meant by it may require structural changes.
Well, I would like you to tell John how we can start to follow up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And how we might, as a coalition at NARTEC, put some pressure on the issue.
Yeah. We will. That's one of the outcomes of this process of trying to review the white paper we did, because that was one of the sections, NIDER, and there were several recommendations there, and there may be additional ones. So that is a timely question, because that's one of the things we're going to need to figure out as part of what we submit to the campaigns.
Thank you.
Any further burning questions for Bobby? Don't hear any. Thank you very, very much, Bobby, for participating. We always appreciate hearing about what's going on and learning how we can provide some input.
Okay, you take care, and again, if, John, you need any of those memos, because they're all easily sent out again.
All right, great. Thanks, Bobby.
Well, take care.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, pushing ahead with our agenda. Next, we want to share a little information about the 2012 NARTEC Annual Conference. I can tell you it's being held in April 26, 27, 2012 at the Hilton Alexandria Old Town. We're currently working on the agenda. We do know that NITER and National Academy of Sciences want to do a presentation on their evaluation of NITER. And I think NITER is going to be responsive in terms of their perceptions of the evaluation and how they're planning on dealing with the recommendations of the evaluation. So that should be pretty interesting. You hopefully have gotten some of the emails which encourage you to provide some ideas for presentations that you would like to make at NARTEC. Again, if you go to narrtc.org, you'll find information about the conference. Provides a way for you not only to register, but to also reserve a room at the conference rate. We have set a January 20 deadline for presentation ideas, so I encourage you to do that as quickly as you can, and if there's any way in which executive committee members could help you, we certainly will. Kurt Johnson is serving as program chair again this year, so he would be happy to deal with any kind of issues that you may have as well. Any questions about the annual conference? Okay. You are probably aware that you've received some information from me, I guess, Nancy Arnold. I think that we were the co-signatories, but it was dealing with NARTEC membership, dues, and so forth. Joanne Starks, who is our membership lead, and Nancy Arnold, who is our treasurer, have been working on that. So I'll turn it over to you two to give a little information about the dues, a little bit about how you derive those, and how they can best pay. So, Joanne?
Hey, thanks very much, John. We have sent out a notice of dues and a letter from NARTEC to all NITER grantees. That includes people who are projects who have been members in the past, and new projects, inviting everyone to either renew their membership or to join NARTEC. And the dues are based on a project's budget. We do realize that not every project has the same amount of money to be able to pay the same amount of dues. So about 5 or 6 years ago, we instated a varying dues rate once it was expanded from our RTCs, which all had somewhat similar types of budgets. So the other thing we did to try and make it more affordable was to encourage projects that are at the same institution to join together, and we give a little bit of a discount for that. So if you have received your notice and you haven't, and you have some questions, please be sure and get back to me or Nancy, and we're happy to work with you on that. If you have paid your dues, we really appreciate that. I think Nancy will give a little report on what our status is. As of last year, 2011, we had a total of 77 projects. That was 51 that were renewed previously, and then 26 new projects last year. So we're hoping that everyone will renew their dues. The funding that we get goes primarily to support the conference and also to support the work of Bobby Silverstein and the people that he works with at PPSV. Those are our major expenses. Obviously, no one on the executive committee takes any kind of money or anything, and so that's what our dues goes to support. So we really encourage everyone to make sure you're up to date so that everyone can join can participate in the conference at the member rate. One thing we have been doing is trying to discuss expanding our membership categories. NARTEC has always been a project-type membership group. It started with the Rehabilitation Research and Training Centers some 30-odd years ago, and it has expanded over the last couple of years. We changed the bylaws to include all NIDER grantees, and we have had some discussion in our membership committee about the possibility of offering new categories, such as separate individual memberships, individual memberships that are affiliated with a grantee membership, special categories such as students, researchers that may or may not be affiliated with a NIDER grant, individuals that might be formally associated with NIDER grants or with projects that have completed their NIDER activity. We've also discussed having membership from people living outside the U.S. And so that's some of the things that we're thinking about. We would love to have more participation from members to get your input, your thoughts on the possibility of expanding some of these categories. We're really looking at it to see if we did that, how it would impact the organization as a whole, how it would be helpful to bring in some more people, new ideas, and new blood. But we want to make sure that we do it in such a way that it's not going to completely restructure the organization in ways that we don't anticipate. So I'd like to encourage anyone that would like to participate on our membership committee. You can get back in touch with me or you can contact John, and we'll definitely let you know when we're having our further membership discussions. And Nancy, would you like to give us an update on the current status of our renewals?
So far, two projects have renewed, and I have corresponded with many who I think are in the process. That's what's gone on so far.
Okay. Does anyone on the call have any questions about membership that we might be able to answer for you? Okay, we'll hand it off to our next topic then.
Okay, thank you, too. And we do annually make NARTEC awards for a variety of purposes at the annual conference. And Robin Jones actually wears a couple of hats in NARTEC. One is as the NARTEC secretary, but the other is as our lead person in terms of the NARTEC award. So I'm going to turn it over to Robin to tell you a little bit about that and some timelines associated with your ideas for people to receive those awards. Robin?
Great. Thank you, John. And as John had indicated, I am responsible for a series of awards, not all of them. The ones that I'm specifically responsible for are the three Distinguished Service Awards, which is awarded to individuals who have made impressive fields of disability through their research, teaching, service, and advocacy. It's given typically for sustained contributions or an accumulation of lifetime achievements. It is the highest recognition that we give. We also have a Commendation Award, which is awarded for research, teaching, service, or advocacy in the field of disability for specific focus activities or achievements. It recognizes important contributions that strategically or creatively advance the field of disability. And then we have a Special Contributions category as well for leadership activities and major accomplishments on behalf of NARTEC itself as an organization. It typically recognizes diligence, service, commitment, and leadership in the context of organizational affairs. The deadline for awards for 2012 is March 9th, Friday, March 9th, 2012, for submission of those. The documents sent out to everybody for filling out or completing and returning to me by that time. The committee then reviews those, sometimes goes back to the entity that submitted the award for some clarification and such, and then makes a final determination on the awards, which will then be given at the annual meeting on the 27th of April at the annual business, as part of the annual business meeting. We invite the awardee to attend the event to receive their award, and we typically ask the individual or individuals designate who they would like to have participate in the award ceremony to for the commendation part of it. So whoever is nominated is given the opportunity to read their nomination and be part of that process as well. So we are in the midst of that now, and we really strongly encourage to get people to recognize. I have had some folks who have contacted me individually by email about it, and so I'm hoping that we'll get a good showing this year for the nominations process. Be happy to answer any questions, and the forms will be sent out by email, but they also will be on the NARTEC website as well under the awards section.
Great. Any questions for Robin about the awards? All right. Thank you, Robin. NARTEC also has a committee which is dealing with nominations of folks for their upcoming vacancies or particular slots that we may wish to fill. And our immediate past president, Mary Ann Farkas, is leading that activity. So I'll turn it over to Mary Ann to give us a little update about what we should be doing in that regard. Still there, Mary Ann? Well, I guess we lost Mary Ann. We do have an email, and I believe, help me here, I believe that the email for a request for nominations has gone out.
Yes, it did. It did go out. It went out this last week.
Right. And so you'll see there that we're, I believe, looking for a vice president. We're looking for several members at large. And the vice president would actually be the person that would assume some responsibilities for being program chair for the upcoming annual conference. So we really hope that we will have people that will step forward, indicate your interest in helping us in terms of those capacities associated with the association. You can certainly send an email or call me if you have any questions in that regard. Okay, let's turn to a component of the association, which we usually refer to as the research committee. Research committee is doing a variety of things, including dealing with some of the best paper solicitation that you may have seen. But I will turn it over to Alex Lieben to go through some of those things with you. Alex?
Yes. Thank you, John. I'll be brief, considering that more details will be provided next week through the letter that we normally send out to all NIDER directors and NARTEC members. And this letter will specify the call for submissions for the annual Best Paper Award. So I think this will be our fifth year, right, John?
I believe it is.
Yeah, fifth year, and last year we had a very good turnaround and an award for a paper, and we hope to continue this tradition this year. The deadline probably will be determined as of February 15, and we're also looking for new people who might be interested to participate in the review group. Someone join us, or we lost someone. If you are interested, please email me at alexander.levin@medstar.net or email Jan, and she'll connect us. So if there are any questions, I'll be happy to entertain.
Will you be sending out any more emails to membership, Alex, about the paper?
Yes. Yes. We've discussed with John today that we will send the call for the nominations next week.
Okay. Great. Great. I hope that everybody will participate in that as well. Okay, in addition to the research committee, NARTEC also has a committee fairly recently renamed. It is the Knowledge Translation and Training Committee. Manon Schladen has been leading that work, and she's going to talk about something new that we will be doing. So I'll turn it over to Manon.
Thanks, John. Hi, everybody. This year, for the second year, we are going to field a Stinky Award. And let me provide you just a brief overview of what we're how we're thinking it's going to look. What we want to do is solicit case descriptions of KT activities from the NIDR membership. We're going to follow the pattern of the KT casebooks that are published by the CIHR. So during the tour, KT organization up in Canada that we patterned a lot of our activities after, got a lot of advice from. Okay, so the timeline roughly is we'll have all the details the last week in January, and we're looking at a tentative submission date of March 1st. So the committee really wants to emphasize that what we're looking for is participation. We're really trying to grow KT among NIDR grantees and help develop the field, which is, you know, really pretty new. So this is not going to be an overwhelming task. We are looking at case descriptions. We're not calling them case studies. We don't want people to be put off by that, about 3 to 5 pages in length. The KT activity that you describe should be relatively mature, but you don't have to have finished it. I mean, this is a new activity, and many of us haven't been doing it that long, so we don't have a big, long history to look back on, reflect on, and analyze. As I said, the details will be out the end of January, between like the last week in January, but the high-level key components will be we want to know how you determined what knowledge you were going to translate, how you determined what the quality was, whether it was a systematic review or some other mechanism for determining what to translate. We're interested in the involvement of your target audiences, and then how the impact was either measured or how you plan to measure it. So papers that present a model that's not, you know, that's done but hasn't been finished are perfectly acceptable. We really want to encourage everybody to submit something. We haven't decided, but we were thinking that we may actually make more than one award. Anybody else on the committee, is there anything you want to add that I might have omitted?
I think you did a great job, Manon.
Thank you.
We really, as you said, this is Mary Ann. I was unable to speak before John because I couldn't get the mute off my line. I'm sorry. I was sitting there, but I couldn't get the mute off. We really do want to encourage people to reflect on their KT, current KT activities, and submit them. And we see this as the initial step of an ongoing process of helping to develop further systematic KT efforts in the NARTEC community. So we're pretty flexible for this first round.
Yeah, and once the notice goes out, you know, we would encourage you to, you know, get in contact with us, and we can, you know, discuss different possibilities and do everything possible to help you participate.
Right. Thank you both very much. That's an exciting addition, I think, to the NARTEC conference activities. Okay, we are at the end of our planned agenda. We have only a few more minutes left, but I want to open the line to any person, including our folks that are listening in today. Any kind of issue or question you might have, please raise it at this time. I don't hear any questions. That's, I guess, a good thing. Well, let me say I do appreciate everybody taking the time to participate in this teleconference, and we do try in the executive committee to do our very best to provide information in the form of newsletters and other kinds of activities for you. So we do appreciate your feedback, and I thank you very much for participating on this Friday the 13th. I'm glad that we made it through this teleconference without any problems. So thank you very much, and I'll say good afternoon.
Bye-bye.
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 All right.